Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Tuesday morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber along with Jim Cramer. We are live from the New York Stock Exchange. Carl Quintanilla, well, he is live from the Code Conference in Los Angeles. There he is. Let's give you a look at futures as we get ready, of course, to open the market a half hour from now. By the way, Case-Shiller numbers just out. Home prices up 19.7% in July compared to a year ago. And you can see, of course, Jim, where we are headed here. It is all about perhaps the NASDAQ. That's where our roadmap is going to start right now, actually, with the, let's call it a tech flight or a flight from tech, NASDAQ futures. You see it right there. They're down sharply. Bond yields, they're up sharply. And investors are awaiting any tea leaves from Fed Chair Powell and Treasury Secretary Yellen, who both will be on Capitol Hill this morning.
Plus, with tech under pressure, we are live from Code. AMD's Lisa Su on the semi shortage, Microsoft's Satya Nadella on monopolies, and a lot more.
And Robinhood CEO defends what he calls the democratization of markets. Also an interesting back and forth with Citadel, but that's separate from his op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. Let's start with the markets, though. You were talking about it at the end of Squawk Box there. Well, of course, you know, we got a yield above 1.5. Dollar actually hitting 11-month highs. We've got continued concerns about supply chain. The three of us were talking a lot about that yesterday. Yeah. Squawk Box had on the head of the ports in L.A. talking about that problem there. Yeah. Just one of so many different issues that business is dealing with right now in terms of higher commodity costs, difficulty getting workers, supply chain issues, and on and on. Is it showing, it's starting to show itself in the
I think that people have to understand that when they hear rates, they'll say, oh, but wait a second. If the 10 years have won, you know, it's a one, you got bonds at two, you know, interest rates at two. I mean, big deal, right? No, it's not a big deal. What's happened is it's a huge deal versus where they were. On a percentage basis, when you start thinking about the 30-year and it's over two, may think it's nothing, but where it was is causing the speed. It's always the velocity, David, of where rates move. So I think that people are readjusting very quickly. The amount of futures that traded last night between 3:30 and 4 to get out of what was today, in other words, beat the sell-off, is often a sign of pure panic. There is pure panic going on right now, and I know that
pure panic is. Can we just call it rotation?
No,
no. Okay,
there's pure panic.
Okay,
because no one cares about. They're just selling these stocks en masse. They're not like analyzing whether it's time to buy Cisco.
No.
It's just a giant futures trade.
But, it is also the five largest market cap companies in the S&P that are going to be down 1.5%.
Right.
And they are, as Dom Chu pointed out, roughly a quarter of the market value overall of that index.
Well, you sell them.
Five
everyone sells
companies.
Them, and then they go back to buying.
Yes, exactly.
And, like, I'm
so
I'm
this morning I have a couple of calls with people. Oh, yeah, cyclicals and industrials are lagging. They're rotation into them.
Okay.
And, of course, you're like, okay, so that's going to happen for how long? And then when are they getting back to these five names?
No.
When is that happening again? When is Microsoft the safest place to be again?
Because they're going to report great numbers. Now, Facebook, I don't want to get too caught up, but Facebook is the one that people keep telling me, Jim, you're way too complacent about, that there really are people going to TikTok and they're going to Snap. And I understand that. But again, Facebook does not reflect high growth at 25 times earnings.
Right.
But Micron reports today. And I think that Micron, if they say that there's an overbuild or that there's an inventory correction coming, then everything that you bought today, if you're buying tech, is going to go down. So let's just stay close to that.
We do. We want to. We're going to hear from Carl, who they had Lisa Su.
That's why I wanted to talk about
Carl. Chips. But before we move on to chips, just the broader market picture. I mean, we're going to hear from Powell and Yellen. Powell's testimony, we've already, obviously, Steve Leisman's already shared a lot of what expected there. Inflation's elevated, will likely remain so in coming months, says Powell, before moderating. As the economy continues to reopen and spending rebounds, we are seeing upward pressure on prices, particularly due to supply bottlenecks in some sectors.
Housing prices are up 20%. I mean, the first thing I saw when I said that was, I want to call my wife and say, do we have any houses left to sell?
What do you mean? You're still buying houses. You haven't sold any.
We sold the Bitcoin houses. The houses we bought on Bitcoin.
All right. I can't keep up with you with the buying and selling of homes. But there's some of what Powell's going to have to say.
Well, that's really good. 19%.
Yeah, but it ends with inflation expected to drop back toward our longer run 2% goal, which takes me back to a conversation you and I have been having since we were now together. And I remember when we were in Englewood Cliffs for those months there. And I would, you'd say transitory, and I'd say maybe not. And you'd say potato, and I'd say potato.
I have a new theory. I call it the great resign.
Okay.
Great resign.
Okay.
Everyone's resigning from these jobs. Now, I spoke with Lance Fritz last night from Union Pacific.
Yes.
People don't have your work, I think, Jim. Thank heavens. They are done. They're sitting on a lot of money, trillions of dollars they got, and they're playing games, and they're not going to work, and the work is not enticing to people who don't need it. They don't need it. They don't want to be truck drivers, for heaven's sake. They don't want to be container operators. They have a lot of money. And when that money runs out, then they'll go back to work. Not until the money runs out. They're busy gamifying. We're going to talk about that.
And you're uniting a lot of the different things that we're going to discuss today.
I'm trying
today
to weave.
They haven't run out of money yet.
You didn't like the great resign?
The great resignation has been used quite a bit of late.
I mean, got it from last night from someone at a bar.
That's been around.
I asked him,
the great resignation.
I thought that was really... Of course, the whole stack.
How many
I
people
say stack?
Stack's always good. Just say stack.
Stack.
The stack. That's sort of a software thing. Stack. You know what? We have Lance Fritz from last night talking with you a bit about sort of where we
You're
are.
You're willing to run a clip of something I have?
And balancing capacity with supply. Take a listen to the CEO of Union Pacific.
Union Pacific.
Yeah, I know.
Might take a little longer than 6 months, Jim, but I do believe it's transitory. I think it's all about balancing out capacity with supply. And everything you see says demand coming inbound is substantial, way up. And capacity to handle it just hasn't grown to match.
Well, I have to tell you, I've followed Lance's career. I've had him on many times. When that interview finished, you get to speak sometimes. I said, oh, my. You weren't that bullish. I was hoping you would be more bullish. He said, I can't be more bullish. He said, these problems are intractable right now. I said, yeah, but like, you're always kind of positive about, how about the trains? They go from west to east, and then they're filled with stuff. All the containers are in the east. It may be grain. I mean, I said, but how about the workers that come back to work?
Doesn't sound like maybe precision railroading to me.
No, I said, how about maybe they lengthen the hours? They had that interview earlier with that gentleman on Squawk. And I was begging Lance. I said, Lance, I got to go to work tomorrow, basically. I need something positive.
Wouldn't give it to you?
No. Nothing. He said, that's not the way it works.
No.
It's not on there to say something positive.
Okay, all of which means what? That the 10-year will continue to kind of grind a little bit higher in terms of yield?
I said that on the earlier show.
Yes, you did. I said way too much in the earlier show. Sometimes you seem to
forget. I didn't
mention
Ford.
This is your show.
This is your show. Well, I need Carl quickly talking about AMD because I don't want to get in trouble with Boss Man over here.
Well, actually, yeah, let's do that. Let's get to Carl at Code. Of course, Lisa Su did have some important things to say about chips and chip supply, Carl, in an interview you guys did with her.
Yeah, guys, there's been a lot of anticipation coming into Code this year, not the least of which is because it was unable to happen last year. And day one really has started out with a bang. To your point, we have Satya Nadella talking about monopoly in the search business, Gary Gensler on policy and crypto, Ted Sarandos talking about vertical integration. But given that news of the day, you do kind of have to start with Lisa Su of AMD talking to Kara Swisher and John Fort about this supply and demand cycle and why this particular cycle is different. Take a listen.
It has not cooled off. I would say demand has, if you think about the semiconductor industry, we've always gone through cycles of ups and downs where, demand has exceeded supply or vice versa. This time it's different. And what's different this time is every industry needs more. And so, you know, the confluence of that means that there is an imbalance. I will say that there's a tremendous amount of investment going in. So there are, you know, over 20 new factories that are coming online this year, and you know, 20 more, you know, 20 plus more in planning. And so it's still going to be tight. You know, this year's tight. First half of next year likely tight, but it'll get better as we get into 2022.
Interesting comments coming on the heels of Jim Farley on Squawk today, talking about maybe not this year, maybe not first half of next year, but the situation eventually getting better as we work our way into the second half of 2022. Nadella, fascinating discussion about the types of tools that they are looking to either buy or build. And this particular moment, guys, on search and what, in his view, it's going to take to make that business competitive.
One thing that I sort of look at is, hey, when was the last time sort of lots of funding went into search?
Yeah.
Other than good old Microsoft, you know, where we spend billions of dollars trying to compete.
Good old Microsoft. That's what I always
say. It's like we're going to be at it because that market has to get competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like the most ridiculous thing that is the biggest market in the world is just a complete monopoly.
Take a look at the lineup, guys, for later on today. Some big names: Elon Musk, Marguerite Vestager of the EU Competitive Regulatory Framework, Jason Kilar of Warner Media, Mark Benioff of Salesforce, and Ari Emanuel of Endeavor, the CEO of Endeavor, guys. You know, the themes at Code are sort of very familiar this year. Mobility, regulation, streaming, cloud, gaming, crypto. But it's also going to be a lesson as to how live events happen, how corporate conferences happen again. And hopefully we get some lessons on that as we try to find our way around this pandemic in corporate life. But to your earlier point, David, the supply chain issues, whether it's China or Europe, are going to be key. And Lisa Su definitely hit it last night.
Yeah, Jim, obviously, you know Lisa as
sure.
well or better than anybody, and I've talked to her so many times. You know, anything that you heard there that was new or updated
yes.
from the last time you spoke
yes.
to her?
Yes, well, what's happened is that we're now in this lose-lose situation. There's an outfit called New Street, and they put out a piece, Semiconductors, Time to Talk Cycle Again. People use
yeah, New Street Research, yeah.
But you heard what Lisa Su said. There's factories coming on. Now they're saying, okay, time to downgrade. Too many factories coming on.
Right.
And so you can't win here. You want to buy AMD because things are tight, but now New Street says, watch out, things are going to be loose and get rid of AMAT, ASM.
Well, you've also pointed us to MU when they report as well.
Well, so that, I mean, I just got a note today from an outfit that just says, look out, it's going to be, the numbers going to be bad. And
on gonna, Micron.
Yeah, and they're going to
so we
cut
take
numbers.
A look, of course, NVIDIA. Which
but I have Mr. Morozo on tonight, so why don't we just listen to him? Or is that...
I think we should.
When the stock was at 34, he said, look, I'm going to buy all the stock again. Then it went to 90. I actually think that we should listen to the CEO rather than the sell side.
Okay. Carl, I think you're still there. I just wanted to come back to you because that Nadella comment about search and then talking about, what did he say, the biggest market is a complete monopoly seemed to be a little, I don't know if you call it incendiary, but interesting, throwing some, you know, throwing a rocket at Alphabet there.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue definitely a little bit more fiery on stage than you might argue who's been on television. But, I mean, look at the numbers in terms of market share on search. Maybe you could argue over time it's gotten a little more incrementally competitive. But I think he's talking about shaking it up the way we have seen shakeups in other types of mega cap tech industries. And search is definitely just, I don't know, Jim, maybe you disagree, but it seems like he does see some white space for people to come in and start stealing, nibbling at the giants.
Well, maybe, but I think, Carl, we all, those of us who have a Hewlett-Packard system, like one of the worst things that could happen is Bing. It suddenly Bing's up. And it's like, oh my God, I don't want Bing. Bing, how did it get to Bing? And you realize, like, you hit the wrong button, it got to Bing. Come on, David, if you get to Bing, I mean, the only thing I think about Bing was that, like, I do a White Christmas. I mean, Bing! I mean, you know, Bing, bang! I remember when Ballmer was in charge, and I went to school with Ballmer, he was business manager when I was editor of the Crimson. And it's like, you know, he was busy trying to be in search, right, with MSNBC doing search. And now, the kiss of death, the total dead end, is when you get Bing! Carl, it is so
bad. Ask Mr. Jeeves?
Yeah, I miss him.
Mr. Jeeves?
I miss IAC bought that, Ask Jeeves, and then it became Ask.
They're smart.
I don't know where it is.
But you should ask Nadella. Like, when he gets Bing, doesn't he say, shoot, I guess I got to go to Google. I mean, does he use Bing? I remember at my college reunion, when 35th, when right next to me, Steve Ballmer put out, he had a Microsoft flip phone.
Yes, I remember
and
this story.
It said, what do people most want out of life? And it said they want more time and vacation. And he said to me, look at this phone. I quit. And you know he owns a big team.
Yes, he does.
He's happier than anyone.
He is.
Except for maybe, who's the happiest man in the world?
I don't know.
Mark Cuban!
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of good things going on.
Mr. Fabulous.
That's tough. That was tough for me to guess that. Who's the happiest man in the world?
You ran Jeopardy. You can do anything.
All right. Well, I'm not sure about that. Coming up, though, Robinhood CEO Vlad Tenev is going to answer his company's critics. It's in an op-ed, and the Wall Street Journal will give you some details of that. But most importantly, take a look at futures. We start trading here in 15 minutes, and, of course, we are looking for a lower open, although NASDAQ coming back ever so slightly. We'll keep an eye on those mega cap tech names, which do seem to be suffering, at least when we start trading a few minutes from now. We're back with more Squawk on the Street.
Bing!
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has issued another warning to Congress about raising the debt limit in a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Yellen says the Treasury will exhaust its extraordinary measures by October 18th. She had previously said the measures would be exhausted sometime in October. So now you've got the date, Jim. October 18th.
October 18th.
So they can push things out, and then that's as far as they can do it, for they can't pay their bills.
Well, look, it's just we know that Costin did some good work at Goldman,
yes,
saying don't get overly concerned with
yes
this. There are so many other issues on our plate that I am going to go with Costin.
So you're not going to be concerned about the raising of the debt ceiling?
No, I think you have to be concerned as watching stocks go lower.
Okay.
But he's basically saying it's an opportunity to buy versus inflation, which I don't regard as an opportunity to buy.
Well, something else we've talked a great deal about over the last year is Robinhood, that trading platform. Its CEO, Vlad Tenev, defended his company's platform and its users. It was in a Wall Street Journal op-ed, slamming critics who called the app gamified. He says a ban on payment order flow, by the way, unlikely to actually help retail investors. That's something that has certainly been raised a number of times by SEC Chair Gensler.
Right.
We've talked about it. Tenev goes on to say, quote, the democratization of markets threatens the existing order. New investors are trying to build stable financial futures and reverse the inequities that plague our society. One wonders whether the push to ban payment for order flow and overregulate modern design is about investor protection or really about control.
I thought this was a very reasonable editorial. I particularly like the fact that he does say that new investors are trying to build stable financial futures, reverse the inequities. I do see there are a substantial number of people who trade options every day, but there's also a substantial number of people who are invested.
There are, but there are a substantial number of people who do, to your point, trade options, who also trade in and out every day.
Yeah.
They're going to college campuses and giving kids money to open new accounts. Not a lot, but I mean,
no,
just, you know, doesn't that, I don't know. Is that about building for the... Maybe it is. Well, but I happen to know that cohort a bit, and I will tell you a lot of them.
They're
trading on their phone the same way they bet on games.
They don't want to go to school.
It's the same thing. They go to school. They're going to class, and then they're buying and selling Bitcoin.
Well, that's not constructive. It's not constructive. It's also going to end up where people are going to lose money. Now, I'll say that.
Yeah.
And these people come in and wreck my mentions column and say, you know what, Jim Cramer, who doesn't know anything, says we're going to lose money. I'm actually saying, just think about investing. Don't trade. But try to own some good stocks into this decline, and I think you'll do well. But I think that option trading may be a sucker's game at this point. I mean, if you're trading in and out.
Right, and we do see a lot of options. Particularly, again, the SPAC phenomenon I've just been discussing for weeks now in terms of high redemptions and then kind of crazy, the options volume.
You got a new one?
Not today. I don't have a new one for you today. But I do want to get to Carl because Carl Gensler, who we had on a couple of weeks ago, was also at Code, and I assume talking in part about some of these very same things.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, listening to or reading that line from Tenev about the existing order, threatening the existing order, is sort of what Gensler responded to on stage last night. Whether it was crypto or SPACs or payment for order flow, he basically argued that he's essentially tech neutral, tech agnostic. But he did say that when instruments operate outside of public policy, it tends not to end well. Here's what he said.
Very few things in finance end well when they stay outside of our public policy frameworks. To think that a field that's grown tenfold in the last 18 months, and I don't mean just tenfold in asset value, but in terms of the lending, the underlying lending and so much more, to think that that's going to stay outside of these big public policy frameworks and succeed. If you're pro technology, then I think you'd want to also be find your way inside of a public policy framework.
Fascinating back and forth there. Whether it's a coincidence or not, the op-ed from Tenev, Jim, and that comment with Preet Bharara on stage.
Well, look, I mean, Carl, everything is really a lot more in flux than I would think. I mean, I really think, by the way, that we keep coming back to Tether. Everyone keeps calling back to this situation where you have this stable coin that may not be that stable, and it's time for this Tether to tell us what they own, particularly if they had any exposure to China, which we've forgotten for a couple of days, but we shouldn't.
No. Hard to forget China, given everything happening there and its impact on our markets as well, not to mention so many investors who own significant chunks of those companies that trade here. But up next, we're going to get Jim's mad dash. We'll count you down to that opening bell. Let's give you one more look at futures before we do that. About 6.5 minutes to go before we get started here at the New York Stock Exchange. A lot more Squawk on the Street for you straight ahead.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Got a few minutes till we get to that opening bell. You can see where futures stand. We are weakening again on the NASDAQ futures. That'll be a focus for us, of course, when we open 4 or so minutes from now. We'll see how Benga Cap Tech is doing, given, you know, a bit of a rotation once again towards those underowned industrials, cyclicals. We're back right after this. All right, we're going to squeeze in a very tight mad dash before we get to an opening bell. Wells Fargo.
Morgan Stanley goes by to hold last week on what I thought was a throwaway question to Jerome Powell. Talked about, when is the cap going to be lifted? Well, he said, you know what, it's going to take a little while. Now they're saying it's not going to be until the fourth quarter of 23. That would be very bad for Wells. When Capital Trust owns it, I don't believe it.
The asset cap removal, for those who follow this closely, perhaps is, as Jim just said, to the fourth quarter of 23. You do have Morgan Stanley again, as you pointed out.
What did Sharp do?
Could be a drag for longer, downgrading that. Here's the opening bell here from the stock exchange. You can see the real-time exchange back at our headquarters. Here at the big board, Moneyline, a digital finance platform celebrating its recent listing via SPAC, over the NASDAQ data analytics startup Amplitude. That was a direct listing.
Right.
Meaning they did not raise actual capital from
I went through that prospectus.
The
shares very hard.
Owned by others against, now listed.
They're up against Adobe. Very, very tough competitive business. On their website, they said one of their clients is Postmates, which does no longer exist. It's now bought by Uber.
Right.
So they should update, given the fact that they did a listing. I would update my website if I were them.
That's good advice. When I do homework, I look at it and I say, geez,
I would have updated that.
All right, back to the broader markets. Of course, we talked about at the top of the show, we are going to see a bit of a sell-off in some of the biggest technology names, the five biggies, as we like to call them, with the largest market values all well over, well, I shouldn't say that, almost all over a trillion. Facebook now below a trillion, in part because it's been selling off lately. Not due to rotation out of technology, but due to its own issues, particularly as they pertain to that Wall Street Journal series of stories a week or so ago. All right, every time we see them sell off a bit, come back a couple weeks later.
No, but you have to wait, because what happens is we're at the end of the month. Who's ever trying to get rid of these stocks is not done. I mean, they don't just like say, okay, I'm finished, because they have huge, huge positions in these names. And when they started selling futures in the morning, when I used to be a hedge fund, you would see this kind of selling and you'd say, wow. I mean, brokers are trying to get ahead of gigantic sales.
I think it is important to make the point, Jim. You know, we talk about coming back to these stocks. Amazon and Apple have lagged the broader market dramatically this year and continue to. Amazon is only up a little over 3%. Apple now backing off yet again from its recent highs is now up 8% for the year. It's not been a great year if you've owned those.
No, it hasn't. And what's happened is that you have to decide whether you want to be in and out of them, in the sense that Alphabet was not a great time for a while, and then it just got reborn. Netflix wasn't great, and then suddenly Netflix. You can't, Microsoft, good example, that I just say, listen, if you flit in and out of these, you tend to miss the moves. But, yes, it's been a trader's rally. It's been a Nat Gas rally.
It has. Let's talk Nat Gas for a moment. So we hear some cheering here from the people who are for the Moneyline IPO. Nat Gas is up again.
It's in double.
I mean, every day it seems to be going up 7-8%. I guess we can take a look. We also talked, they're only 3%.
They call it the Widowmaker, and that's because people are short it. Now, Sharif Suki
$2 was where we were for so long.
Sharif Suki says it does halt at 6.5. Carly Garner, a great Nat Gas trader, says it's going to run out of steam 6.5-7. There is a lot of natural gas. It's kind of like the gasoline situation in UK. There is a lot of
there
gasoline.
There is, but we're heading into winter, and that typically does.
Well, Nat Gas is there is a ton of Nat Gas. Don't blame the exports. The exports are consistent.
Right.
Blame the pipeline system, which is not consistent. And it's very hard to get a pipeline built in this country. You certainly don't have a pro.
Gives you a sense as to the move over the last 3 months. Of course, if you go back a long period of time, you'll see where Nat Gas has been for a long time, which is a great deal lower. Europe is suffering far higher prices than we are.
16. That's why Tellurian, if you want a $4 flyer versus Cheniere, which is in the 90s, then bet on that one, because that's one that's on the come. And the other one,
by the way, Tellurian is not yet. They haven't built their trains yet to actually get the stuff out.
Oh, no, it's just a dream.
It's a dream.
It's kind of a,
so enormous
like
capital.
Vegas was with Bugsy Siegel.
Right. I mean, you know, I know Freeport pretty well, private, but one of the bigger LNG exports. $14 billion is what it costs
these
to build those things.
These are gigantic projects. And again, if we were down there, we would think, wow, America's an industrial might. Instead, when I listen to the railroads or anybody, we don't make anything here. We assemble. We assemble,
David. You know what? That's a perfect lead-in, though, to Ford.
Yes.
We don't make anything here. Come on. Ford is going to be building new assembly plants for batteries and electric vehicles.
This was huge. Now, remember, he's got a partner, but it's $11.4 billion investment. I regard this as the most important announcement from Ford. I don't know. I mean, I went.
Not a long time.
I mean, look, this is it. This is it, and it's partly through the Mach-E 5. It's partly because of the F-150 Lightning. But this is...
Tennessee seems to be, as a state, the beneficiary of a lot of this. Now, it doesn't take as many jobs on the assembly line.
No.
But it's still better to have
build
than not.
And what I love about Jim Farley is he recognizes the bottleneck is the battery.
Right.
And he's
and they're
building
partnering
batteries.
With SK, right? With,
yeah, but they have a special battery that they're using that a lot of people feel is very competitive to... your guys at QuantumScape.
My guys, yes.
See, David had, I just want to explain the way show works. David once had the QuantumScape CEO.
Yeah, first interview he did. Never interviewed him again.
No. So
you did about 17
Jagdeep.
Times.
Jagdeep.
But
so
it's
what
my,
happens yes. is I make fun of him because yes. my father was called the Needler, and I am a Needler. All right? I am a needless Needler.
All right. Okay.
Now people on Twitter say, see, Kramer knows he's irrelevant.
Back to QuantumScape, because that's interesting. Do you think it's a threat to them longer term?
No.
This effort that Ford is undertaking?
Oh, yeah, I think that the technology may be superior for Ford. I'm going to have the battery company on later this week to explain.
You're such a Farley fanboy, though.
I mean, I am
you
a
just
Farley
love anything
fanboy.
That they come up
well,
with.
You know, you know why I'm a Farley fanboy?
Tell me why.
Because the stock goes higher.
Mm.
If the stock goes lower, you think of it. I am a fickle friend.
You are a fickle friend and a Farley fanboy.
But I am a Farley fanboy.
And you are.
Well, look, I told you this is Ford versus Ferrari, and in this one, Ford wins.
And you,
although Ferrari's got some new interesting designers.
You like Ferrari? Are you a, yeah? Ferrari?
I happen to love a Lamborghini.
Right.
And, when my wife test drove a Lamborghini, that's a remarkable car. Most of them go to China, of course,
yeah.
because the Chinese have all the money.
All right, let's talk about some sectors. You know, yesterday we talked financials. They are up again today, Jim.
Yeah, Morgan Stanley.
And, of course, energy is also having a decent early run here with Exxon
Devin.
And Chevron both up over 1%.
You know, I spoke to the Starboard guys.
The yesterday. Starboard guys?
Yeah, Peter Phil, in preparation for my conference.
Yes.
Hey, engine one.
Yes.
I mean, they blew it, Exxon. They did not have a real plan to decarbon. But even the carbon guys who have deep plans, there are people who are suspicious of everyone in the natural gas and oil business.
Who say that they're going to try to decarbonize.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do.
Listen, I happen to think Exxon's efforts are real. There's certainly no doubt that that board of directors that Darren Woods and the executive team at Exxon is now dealing with
is pretty serious. What are those meetings like? What about society?
I would assume they're pretty constructive. But I think it's a good question.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in one of those meetings. That's what they do. They just.
Meanwhile, as we pointed out, the stock has had a very nice move this year, more or less almost double double of Chevron's move, which has had a good year, up 23% as a stock. You don't doubt Mike Wirth's efforts.
I think Mike Wirth is.
But somehow
real.
You do doubt.
I was out
Exxon's.
With someone last night who said. You know, there are a lot of people who doubt Mike Wirth, but when he upped it from $3 billion to $10 billion,
yes.
he got the downgrade from J.P. Morgan,
yes.
he's not done spending. He does not want to be, he doesn't want his legacy to be that he greenwashed. He's investing in technologies that could be produce more energy with less carbon, which I think we all have to admit is not what we want.
No, that is absolutely what we want. And they seem committed to it on a number of fronts. It's hard to imagine we're even having a conversation about the largest oil companies in the country, if not the world, talking about
footprint.
Yes, and potentially, who knows, one day we may see one of them say
footprint.
That they're going to actually be carbon neutral.
Well, how about the fact that
Royal
Dutch is under pressure to be carbon neutral? So what do? They give a big carbon to Conoco.
Yeah.
And Conoco's not under pressure. Conoco's a great stock here. I mean, a great stock. Oh, Morgan Stanley, Adam Jonas immediately has a piece out here on Ford, sticks with his underweight. Adam, could you spend like five, I happen to like Adam, but could you spend like five, six more minutes before you keep the underweight? Like maybe like just, hey, like Farley. He is not a Farley fanboy.
He's not a Farley. Well, not everybody can be.
I sent some pictures. I went to an antique car show this weekend.
Yes,
I took pictures, sent them right to Farley.
You did.
To remember the legacy of Ford.
Right.
The legacy. He said, thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
Are you upset that he was on Squawk Box and not with you?
Livid.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make
Spent
sure.
Spent all morning railing about it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, to Ben Stoto.
Okay.
But I love Phil so much, I didn't mind.
No, Phil does a great thing. Tesla's up, GM's up, Ford is up. I talked about
Tesla's
the banks briefly.
Up because of deliveries.
You talked about Wells Fargo, which is the only bank that is down in part because of this asset cap.
And
everything
that's
else
so
is up.
Wrong.
Is that just
downgrade is wrong.
All right, you think the Morgan Stanley downgrade of Wells is
right.
wrong, but what about the group? Is that generally...
Yeah, the groups, look, interest rates go higher,
sense
they buy.
Rates go higher,
okay,
they move
here,
up.
Here's the issue. People have to remember that these companies do report. They report in a fortnight.
Yes.
All right? Which is the equivalent of 2 weeks.
Correct.
Just for like a little insight there.
Yes.
And when they report, they don't say, you know what, our stock's up because rates are up a little bit. No, they have to deal with the hand that they've dealt with. So
JPM, I don't think I've ever seen it with a $500 million market cap. I might be wrong, but I think that's
Can you believe that it sells for 11 times earnings? Jamie Dimon must get up every day and say, believe I'm 11.
I said half a billion. I meant half a trillion.
He says that I'm 11 times. Does he say that? I mean, like the Eagles lost last night. I say to my wife, we look, bitches. You're not the Eagles. Does Jamie Dimon say,
stop complaining about your multiple. Get your earnings up. Enough. I don't want to hear it. You're not going to get multiple expansion. Just get your earnings up. And by the way, you know what? You missed a lot of this fintech stuff. PayPal's got a $320 billion market. Yeah, I know he did.
He said, hey, listen, what did we do? I think he said they stunk or something. Hey, how about this piece about Disney? Paradise Lost. Negative piece about Disney.
Who wrote that?
Wells Fargo. Cut the 218 to 203.
Wells.
Hey, I'll take 203. They said they have a lot of wood to chop. Now, that's an interesting analogy. A lot of wood to chop. I mean, why didn't they say, like, in Pluto's got his work cut out?
I think domestic subs. I think HBO Max actually has more domestic subs than Disney Plus. But Disney Plus has been, without a doubt, incredible success.
Thank you.
Incredible. In terms of how quickly they've added so many
Did you like Paradise Lost? Milton's very hard to read.
Yes, he was.
Milton's tough.
I think I did try.
Who do you think's harder? Do you think The Dubliners is the hardest book you ever read?
That's James Joyce.
Yeah.
Yes. Ulysses, I did actually
get
through.
Ulysses is really hard.
That was hard.
I took a whole semester of Ulysses.
So did I.
Did you really?
Yeah. Well, I was an English major.
Were you really?
Yeah.
There's no future in that, my father said.
No, there wasn't.
He said, if you're an English major, I'll disown you.
I'm living proof of it. Look, I'm sitting here every day with you.
Will you stop it?
Think of the things I might have done if I hadn't been an English major. I want to talk about streaming, though. I think, is Carl out there somewhere in L.A. for us? Because they had Sarandos at Code as well, Carl, and he had some things to say. Of course, Netflix, where are they?
Oh,
at
man.
$17 billion?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to crowd everybody out in terms of how much they're spending.
David, Ted Sarandos definitely came to play last night here at Code. Opened the kimono a little bit on viewership data, pushing back on the notion that perhaps Netflix data is a little bit opaque. Talked about the top shows in viewer numbers and by hours watched. Threw a little bit of shade at other streamers, arguing that maybe they win their Emmys on shows that are not widely watched while they win Emmys on their biggest hits. And then talked a lot about how, unlike other streamers, they're not torn or conflicted trying to serve the streaming audience as well as the exhibitor audience. Take a listen to this.
I believe our advantage is that we're not conflicted in our business. So we make our programming for our members on Netflix. So there's when you're kind of managing through legacy businesses, you're trying not to kill them too fast. You see how the studios today are conflicted about when to put movies out.
In his words, do they put them on direct? Do they put them on in theaters? Do they wait 45 days? Do they wait 14 days? Those are problems we don't have. One other thing, Jim, he talked a bit about gaming as the next evolution, arguing that people are going to be gaming a lot more in 10 years, 20 years than they do today. He did say that at one point, you know, when you think about Netflix's evolution, there was a time at which they didn't do original content. Then there was a time where they didn't do unscripted. There was a time where they didn't do foreign language. And one day we'll say there was a time where Netflix didn't do gaming, but that time will change.
I think you're right, Carl. Remember the metaverse, which we got to stop making fun of because Roblox is real and Unity's real and NVIDIA's real. But Facebook is capable of making games in the future, Carl, where you are able to watch yourself dance, you're able to watch yourself sing. I mean, I think we'll all do that. I think that would be a lot of fun. So I think that gaming is in the future. But it might be Facebook that makes the product, Carl. Wouldn't that be something?
Very possible, Jim. I know you were all over the metaverse, which is all, it's all sort of funneling that way, right? This environment in which we listen to new music and we see new content all in an environment that is kind of hard to envision right now.
Yeah, and don't forget also, and I keep coming back, Carl, maybe how many people are talking about TikTok out there as being the preferred way to reach people these days?
Yeah,
TikTok
was definitely
for real.
Later on, we'll show you the soundbite where Nadella talked about the TikTok saga under the Trump White House and how it was one of the strangest ordeals that he's ever lived through in his corporate career. But TikTok continues to make waves. It's a big topic of discussion here.
It's one of the
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. I was Dr. Gottlieb last night.
It was one of the stranger stories I've ever reported on. I remember TikTok, Microsoft, and Oracle, and remember Walmart, and of course, none of it ever actually amounted to anything
Bill Ford, General Lannan.
Well, they still own a lot of it.
Well,
now the question becomes ByteDance, TikTok's parent, and what it's really worth given everything that's going on in China. Even though TikTok, obviously, itself here in the U.S. is an incredibly successful platform.
Are there any more billionaires that suddenly are under arrest?
None that I'm aware of.
What do they charge them with?
They don't charge them.
They don't charge them?
No.
That's very different from the United States.
It's due process. By the way, when I hear you talk about Facebook and the metaverse, I can't help but that's going to work out real well, I'm sure.
Well,
I'm talking for all of us and for society, right?
Benioff.
That's going to just work
oh,
out
no,
great.
Oh, no, you're going to be able to create, literally, I can create
yeah.
you,
uh-huh.
and I can have you say, you know, Jim, you're the smartest person I've ever met.
Right.
And no one will know
no
that
one
it's
will
not
know.
You.
Right.
And then you can just say, you know what, Jim, you should come on Jeopardy. I think you crush it. It would be none of the things that you would say. And no one would know the difference.
Yeah, I think... Facebook. Hey, look, stock's down another 2.5%.
Oh, it's probably a buy at a certain
metaverse.
Point, for heaven's sake. Where's Zuckerberg? I mean, you know, he's like enough. He's like talking about like Apple's not that any good about child. But I think Apple is good. So,
but Jensen's going to take care of us at NVIDIA. He's going to make sure the metaverse is a kind place.
He wants
place where
to.
All our dreams
he
will
wants
come
to.
Through.
I mean, the problem is that it's a platform. And remember, you can get that room together. People can discuss Shakespeare or Milton, and they're not real people. And so you don't feel like you're alone.
You do wonder as well what the impact of the metaverse will be and or advances, at least in that kind of technology, for work from home and or the ability not to be in an office. I mentioned it because yesterday I was with the CFO of a very, very large company. I won't name which one. Their offices are empty here in New York. Empty. Nobody.
I know.
And, you know, the expectation really is, yeah, maybe they come back in January, some people, some of the time.
But maybe they just don't. Well, the breakthroughs are incredible.
What? The breakthroughs, you're not overly sick.
Dr. Faber.
No, I listen to Gottlieb.
Love Gottlieb.
Yes.
The C's in the White House.
And he's talking about
C's in the White House, where President Massoff, how he got COVID. Hilarious. People must read this book.
I know you like the book.
The book is good.
It's patient. Uncontrolled Spread.
I had him on last night.
Yeah, got
I got him the spot. He's, by the way, on the board of Pfizer.
Yes, he is. Still to come right here, Fed Chair Powell and Treasury Secretary Yellen. They are both set to testify before the Senate Banking Committee. Of course, we are going to bring you live coverage of that. First, though, let's get to a bond report this morning. Of course, we've talked about Treasuries a number of times. Yields have been moving up of late ahead of that testimony from Powell and Yellen. You can see we are at 1557 on that all-important 10-year note. We'll be right back. Take a look there at the NASDAQ 100 heat map. As you see, of course, a lot of red there. Red Sea, in some ways. Electronic Arts, Activision. It's not part. Where is your God now, Moses? Sirius XM.
Robinson. Dolphin.
Sorry,
that
I can't help
brilliant.
It.
That was brilliant.
I got to do
Eddie. Oh, my
Eddie,
God,
Eddie
you're
G.
good.
Eddie G. Where is
your... Can you do any Garfield?
Yeah, I'll do some Garfield after we come back. But you got to do Stop Trading first.
All right, no problem.
Okay. All right, let's get to Stop Trading.
I always like to find a stock that if it turns, then you're going to get more bullish. And the stock that you have to look at today is Tesla, because a wildly bullish note by Piper talking about 894,000 vehicles and maybe margins good. So watch Tesla. If that one comes back, then you might see the NASDAQ actually try to make a run, not to the necessarily the green, but certainly much it would be an opportunity to buy. So just focus on Tesla. That will be the stock that gives you the key to this market, so to speak.
It is. I think it's, the sixth largest market cap, right, after the top five.
Oh, no,
five.
It's for real,
it's
man.
Six, right? 780.
It's much bigger than Ford, even though Ford's doing electrifying the universe.
Yeah. All right, what do you got on Mad tonight?
David, everyone's wanting me to have Sonos on, because when you get a house, you get Sonos. So I've been begging for them to come on. By the way, this is a Katie Huberty name. Katie Huberty put the wood to Logitech today. Just put the wood to it. I mean, she was down there giving Logitech the business. But I like, she loves Sonos. What?
We all love Sonos. I got a lot of Sonos. So I got on one place, I got to do the old software because I have old stuff. And the new one, I got the new.
You've been using Best Buy to bring anything in?
No.
They've looked at the supply chain. They saw it coming.
Really?
Yes, really smart.
Quite right.
Jim, I will see you right here tomorrow.
Dave, this was an exciting show.
Thank you.
I feel bad that we're not with
Carl,
but man, does he have the guests.
But he's with us, kind of.
No, but I'm saying that his guests are amazing out there.
There he is. I know you got a lot more coming up, Carl, later on Tech Check. I know that.
By mistake, I got Bing. I had the Cowboys. I said, oh, I like Bing now.
Guys, we're going to watch the tech sell-off, obviously being driven by some macro issues, but we're going to keep our eye on code, of course. You'll see Elon Musk on the tape later today, Jason Kilar, Warner, Mark Benioff of Salesforce. And then on Tech Check, Jim Breyer will talk some FANG with Breyer Capital, David Marcus of Facebook, and Qualcomm's Cristiano Amon, as it's a good day to be here in Beverly Hills watching all things tech and the Code Conference, guys.
I wish I were there. These are the people you need to talk to, Carl. This is just a fantastic day. You'll come back with more wisdom than we'll ever have. Really great.
Yeah, well, that's actually usually the case.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.